Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. A unique program schedule for today. We're simply going to be calling it Bits and Pieces Across America. Open mic. I have pondered for some time doing this, and I've thought on several occasions perhaps there would be issues or discussions that you would like to have that's not being discussed or talked about on that particular broadcast, but you'd like to call in, broach a subject, something that you would like to talk about or ask a question on. It could be doctrinal, theological, biblical. It could be political, as they call it. It could be something in relationship to the election process or the things on the ballot, the agenda for November's vote. But in either event, we're making it wide open. Of course, I'll be talking and sharing some truths from a number of issues that are facing us across the nation and around the globe. But I'd love to have you jump in with the dialogue and discussion at any point and any time during the course of this broadcast. Let me remind you that you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can have the discussion, the dialogue that you would like to have today. This is a wonderful opportunity for you if you've been listening for quite some time, for months or years, and you're intrigued by the program. You'd like to have, as some call it, putting in your 2 cents worth. Well, today is that wonderful opportunity for you to do so. So let me encourage you to do that. Again, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you once again, as I do each and every day, that we face the issues based on the authority of the Scripture, not based on ideological bent from some political agenda. It's not based on dogmas from a denomination, but it's based on the truth. The truth is simply the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed." By the way, that word indeed simply means truly, surely, absolutely. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples truly, surely, indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice there is an absolute requirement in order for us to know the truth, and that is being a disciple, follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just hypothetical, but a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then the declaratory statement that I enjoy so much is in John 17:17, where Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." Truth is something that is not sought after today. Truth is something that is not listened to or adhered to. Truth, as George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But ladies and gentlemen, recently I discovered a wonderful, wonderful quote from a theologian and church reformer of the 15th century, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And so let me challenge us with that today, that we seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and ladies and gentlemen, we must defend the truth. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a full line of landscape lawn care equipment, just as is carried for the professional landscaper. Tools for Time also carries hurricane preparedness equipment and has a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all your questions about the equipment that is sold. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's the place where the wonderful, beautiful Old Glory United States flag flies high above the ground. It's located there at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. I believe we have our caller on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a question.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you. Well, more like a statement. I'd like to know what you think about it. About a couple months ago, I was stopped in a Walmart parking lot by a woman who wanted me to sign a petition so that anyone could vote in anyone else's primary. And I told her that I thought that was a ridiculous concept because I want someone from another party to tell me who I can vote for in my own party as a nominee.
Well, I'm in agreement with you. In fact, one of the things that I'll be discussing in the near future on this broadcast is the analysis of many, many amendments that's being prepared and pushed today for the November ballot of this year. And what they're attempting to do, and it's promulgated through the socialist Marxist Democrats to water down, dilute, and destroy the vote in the state of Florida. And it will be a constitutional amendment. And our Constitution, since 1970, the state of Florida's had about 125, 123 amendments. And for the U.S. Constitution, for all of its years in existence, only 27 amendments. We're destroying the Constitution in the state of Florida by the woeful amendments. What they're doing, if this will help you to make some decisions on your thoughts about that, what they're attempting to do, anything that these agenda proponents, anything that they feel they cannot get through the legislative process, we're a representative form of government, a constitutional republic with a representative form of government, where any laws need to be promulgated through the citizens with their input to the House of Representatives and the Senate, and that is the place that laws should be promulgated and passed. If it cannot pass muster there, multitudes of these major lobbyist groups and people like John Morgan that's now pushing with one of the agenda amendments for November, where it will make pot, marijuana, legal for recreational use in the state of Florida. That's just one of them. But what you're talking about, they have a number of ballot issues that's on the ballot for November that will literally destroy the election process. They're attempting to destroy what we're wanting to do as conservatives in America, and they're doing it through the backdoor approach.
Right. I was telling the woman, I said, why would we want someone who doesn't think like us to nominate someone in our own party? She's like, well, we want to be able to vote in a primary if we're not part of a party. I said, well, then you need to join that party.
You're exactly right. Good advice to her. My recommendation is, and this is just a broad brush, young blood recommendation, I do not sign any petitions for anything that will modify, modulate, change, or destroy the integrity of our Constitution in the state of Florida. If they want something passed, let it go through the legislative process. Most of the time, if not 100% of the time, they realize it cannot pass the legislative muster because the people do not want it. And listen very carefully for our other listeners also. Once it goes on as a constitutional amendment, it is almost impossible to ever be changed, to ever be changed. A number of years ago, I believe it was back in 2006, if I'm not mistaken, could have been slightly before or after, there was an amendment on the Florida Constitution that would prohibit pig farmers from having pregnant pigs caged in a cage being transported. That passed. It was done by the animal rights advocates, the bleeding heart liberals that will see a baby murdered in the womb but doesn't want a dog hurt. And as a result of that passing, we no longer have pig farmers in the state of Florida. It is ignorance on the part of the general society, and most of these folks that are getting the petition signed are getting anywhere from $2 to $5 a piece, and they really do not care what the system will be like after that ballot initiative passes. They're just simply doing it for the gravis of making the money of getting you convinced to sign the dotted line. So good for you. I commend you for not signing it and not being taken in on that.
Well, you have a good day.
Thank you so much, and God bless you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, as I've simply chosen to call it, Bits and Pieces Across America, and it's open mic. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not often we hear of some good news, encouraging news, uplifting news, but here's just a couple of examples of what is good news. A police officer stops a car for a violation and ends up praying for the occupants of the car, and we continue to hear the rubbish about police officers and the shooting of police officers across America. This article says, wife shares photo of cop praying with her grieving husband after being pulled over. Listen carefully. The article says Linnell McGee, James, and her husband, Lamar, were driving to Dallas from the following the death of Lamar's brother. They were pulled over by a Texas state trooper. What happened next brought tears to their eyes and is now encouraging thousands of people across social media. James and her husband were traveling from their home north of Houston on Sunday when Texas Department of Public Safety trooper Ross Bates pulled them over near Madisonville for a non-speeding violation, according to the Facebook post. Bates asked the couple where they were traveling to, and James responded they were driving to Dallas due to a death in the family. When James told Bates that her husband's brother had died, the trooper didn't skip a beat. Bates said, "Oh, I am so sorry to hear that. Do you know where he is?" James wrote on the now viral post, "My husband answered, 'Yes, he's at the morgue.'" And the police officer responded, "No, he is now in his heavenly home." The divinely timed answer brought tears to the grieving couple's eyes. James said the trooper then went back to his vehicle, wrote a warning ticket rather than giving the couple a regular ticket. The warning wasn't the only thing that was a blessing the officer brought to them. Bates, who had recently become an ordained Christian deacon, asked James and her husband if he could pray for them. He removed his hat, asked to hold hands, and he prayed with us, she wrote. "I have never had this happened before, but it has meant everything to us in that moment when we really needed it." Ladies and gentlemen, that's good news. And we don't hear much good news anymore coming out of any of the systems across America today. It seems to be that it's all bad news. But ladies and gentlemen, today, the most of our cities and states have a vast shortage of applicants for police law enforcement. But when we see what happens, in fact, I watched on the news just last evening, a police officer near a school noticed a SUV that seemingly the brakes had come off, and the SUV was rolling down a grade, and if it continued, it would run into a group of students and perhaps kill several. He chased the SUV down, grabbed the car by the handle, and with feet dragging, pulled back on it to stop it long enough to prevent it from running into the children. Ladies and gentlemen, there are good news events taking place in America, and it's overshadowed by what is taking place that is so harsh and so negative and so dramatically bad for our nation. And we have heard news from FBI agent Christian, a church security team, and this Christian, former FBI agent, former law enforcement agent, is the one that most of us have heard about the Texas shooting. Here's the article. It says, "Good guy with a gun takes down church attacker in just 6 seconds. Life-saving hero speaks out with a powerful message. The man responsible for perhaps saving the lives of dozens at a Texas church is speaking out about the harrowing experience that he had. Jack Wilson, 71-year-old parishioner at the West Freeway Church of Christ, is a former reserve deputy sheriff, former FBI agent, who owns a firearms training academy. He says, "I just want to thank all who have sent their prayers and comments on the events of today." The post read, "The events at the West Freeway Church of Christ put me in a position that I would hope no one would have to be in. But evil exists, and I had to take out an active shooter in church, end quote. He continued, I'm thankful to God that I have been blessed with the ability and the desire to serve him in the role of head of the security team at our church. I am very sad in the loss of two dear friends and brothers in Christ. But evil does exist in the world, and I and other members are not going to allow evil to succeed. Please pray for all the members and their families at this time. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your understanding. Thank you for each thing that you're doing for the Lord. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's good news. That's good news. Yes, it was a horrific event. Yes, two people died plus the shooter, but that's good news. And realization and the recognition that God has placed people in the right place at the right time to carry out the task that is needful and necessary in our local New Testament churches. I've said for many, many years, and I've lectured on the subject of church security in several venues down through the years, and I've said that churches are soft targets, and they need to be recognized by those would-be shooters that there are those armed within the church that can defend the church, defend the believers, and take a stand to defend life. In fact, I'm the proponent, and I really believe this. We've not done it, but I think that it needs to be done. And I might just throw this out to see what you say. You might have a question or comment about it. You might agree or disagree. I believe that churches need to have signs at the entrance of the church. This is not a gun-free zone. This is not a gun-free zone. I believe that would repel and perhaps dispel the thought that multitudes, as they might feel, could come in and do harm to churches and Christians and pastors and destroy that which God is doing. Ladies and gentlemen, another bit of good news. We've all heard of the stories of those who have been allowed to die or have physician-assisted suicide in death because some physician is considered, made the decision, considered them terminal. You've heard the story, you know, you don't want grandma to live like this. Grandpa wouldn't want to live this way, or your son or your daughter, if he lives, will be just simply a vegetable. So let's pull the plug and let's take his life. It's called physician-assisted suicide. Jack Kevorkian, a number of years ago, was caught, tried, convicted, and put in prison for many years as a result of physician-assisted suicide. But that's something that's rampant now across America, and more states are adopting that. And the states that have not adopted it, they have what's called palliative care, and they have hospice care, where the design purpose of the medical attention is not to save life, not to preserve life, but to dispatch life. And here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that points to the very fact that God is the one that's in charge of life and death. God is the one that gives life, and only God can take life. It shouldn't be left to the hands of a physician, regardless of his expertise, regardless of his ability. It's not should not be left to him. This article says, 24-year-old, doctors gave her 2 weeks to live. Now she's competing in the Miss America contest. Born addicted to cocaine and not expected to live for 2 weeks, Tiffany Satz, 24, is now competing in the Miss America pageant. She was supposed to die before her first birthday. If she did survive, she was supposed to have severe mental and physical disabilities. But she was crowned Miss Pennsylvania earlier this year and has defied the odds in her an advocate for foster care and adoption. She was born on the streets in August of 1995, addicted to cocaine, a helpless infant struggling to detox from powerful drug addiction that was not her own fault at all. Quote, I was waiting in the streets alone while my mother was out prostituting trying to make money. It's a rotten shame, but that was the reality for my life. She said that she was placed in foster care. We would be interested in taking, the statement says further in the article, we'd be interested in taking this little girl. It was ultimately after trying to find a foster home. One family said, we'd be interested in taking this little girl for the weekend. You know, she's cocaine positive. She told the people that was asking about it. She's not expected to live very long, but we need to put her somewhere because the home situation is very bad. The weekend foster care arrangement turned into a long-term placement. And when she was 2.5 years old, she was formally adopted by Lynn and Lori Satz, a couple who has spent years raising children through the foster care system. This is a quote. I'm so grateful that my parents have given me so much opportunities in life that I wouldn't have had had it not been for the gift of adoption. I hope my story will inspire other people to consider doing the same thing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's good news. That's good news. I have seen too many times where the physicians take the position that they're gods. They want to make the decision for life and death. In fact, I have, in my studies and research on the subject, I've watched dozens and dozens of hours of video footage where physicians are being trained how to convince family members to pull the plug on family members that are in medical straits and difficulties. And the medical, how would you say, the medical field today, medical profession today, locking arms with the insurance professions and deciding to take life. But it's good news. This young lady, now 24, she wasn't supposed to live 2 weeks, and yet she has, God has sustained her, and she's now 24 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, that is good news. Too many think that somehow, some way we're God. Yet in the scripture, it's the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And that word appoint, ladies and gentlemen, is in the Greek text in the sense that it means God has ordained when we would be born. God has made a determination and foreordained when we would die. Our life, our living, our death, our future is in the hands of God, not medical science and not the medical profession, but God. I'm thankful for medical science and what they've been able to discover and do. I believe it's only by the opportunity God's given and the wisdom of God that allows man to do that. But God is the clock. God is the calendar. God is the timekeeper. God is the one that makes the determination and the decision. Another bit of inspirational news, ladies and gentlemen, a television evangelist. I like this. Hey, the article says a famous television evangelist says Trump is a test whether or not you're saved. You hear what I said? A famous television evangelist says Trump is a test whether or not you're even saved. Now, I don't agree with this man's theology, so let me do a little precursor disclaimer. Jim Baker, who just turned 80 years old last week, he's now living out in California. You remember the Jim and Tammy Baker show and the PTL program and all of the fiasco that took place in the late 80s as a result of some of the things that were taking place. But Jim Baker, who just turned 80 last week, said on his Monday broadcast, the Jim Baker Show, you know what? Trump is a test whether you're even saved. Baker also discussed the 2020 politics and defended Trump, saying, speaking of Trump, he keeps signing things that protect the church, and he's helped Israel and recognized Israel. He's fulfilling the Bible, whether you like it or not, end quote. Further, he says, the demons of hell were impeaching the president as I was taping this show recently. He added, and a photograph of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was then displayed on the screen. A video clip dispatched on Twitter with Baker's remarks has been viewed by nearly 1.5 million people since it was posted Monday evening. So Jimmy Baker, ladies and gentlemen, is saying that if you're really saved, you'll be for Trump. Now, I don't go that far and say it in that dogmatic fashion, but I believe it's a really litmus test. Otherwise, what you're saying is, if you're going to vote for one of the socialist Marxist Democrats, and that's what they are, socialist Marxist Democrats, how can you say I'm saved and vote for a party, a person, an individual that believes that you can confiscate weapons and destroy the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the 14th Amendment? How can you vote for a party or a person that says that it's okay to murder a baby in the womb, or even after the baby is birthed, if it survives the abortion attempt, that you can leave it on a table, keep it comfortable until it simply dies? That's infanticide, euthanasia and infanticide. How can you vote for any party, any person, any candidate that takes that stand and still say, I'm a Christian? How can you vote for a party, a person, or a candidate that is for and embraces the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, and they'll still say, I'm a Christian? It's an impossibility. So it's good news when a person is willing to take the stand and say publicly that if you're saved, it's okay to say, I'm for President Trump. The Christians today are being ridiculed, mocked at, and derided, just as with the Christianity Today article by Mark Galley, that basically was accusing the Christians of abandoning the faith and denying Jesus if we take a stand for President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, even a so-called Christian psychologist today calls evangelicals Trump supporters fools. Hear me? Christian psychologist calls evangelical Trump supporters fools. This article says, it's dated December the 5th. This article says back in September 2019, Dr. Chris Thurman wrote two op-eds for the Globe Post. The first was entitled, "There's a Psychopath in the White House." The second was titled, "Evangelicals Who Supported Trump to Gain Political Power Made a Grievous Mistake." The latter accused those evangelicals of making a deal with the devil. And this article basically says, evangelicals made a deal with the devil when they supported Trump. They promised to support Trump for president, even though they knew he was not a good person. In exchange for being dealt back into the political power game and determining the moral decision and direction our country is headed, in doing so, evangelicals chose political power over Christian values, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's laughable, laughable, if it were not so sad that a so-called Christian psychologist, he needs to do a little self-analysis. He needs to do a little deliberation himself and introspection to determine if he's saved in making those statements. The Christian Post carried another of his op-eds, and this one reads this way. Listen, I believe evangelicals who support Donald J. Trump are being both blind and foolish in doing so, that labeling them as such is not sinful, but appropriate and necessary. By support, I'm not referring to evangelicals who voted for Trump in 2016. I'm referring to those evangelicals who continue to hold Trump up as a great leader, saying that he is God's chosen one for the presidency, applaud his appalling words and actions, ignore the glaring moral defects, and enable his dangerous presidency to continue by giving him their time, talent, and treasure. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this, and you've heard me say it perhaps dozens of times on this broadcast since President Trump was elected. I believe in November 2016 it was by God's divine intervention that gave us Donald J. Trump. He's done more for standing with Israel than any other president in modern history. He has done more for the Christian and for the Christian's freedom and liberties and the protection of our First and Second Amendment rights than any other president. He has, by executive order, canceled the opportunity for the IRS to come in and persecute and prosecute Christians for talking about political issues, whether it be on the radio broadcast from the pulpit or any other standpoint of fashion. And here's this so-called Christian psychologist saying that Trump is bad and we ought to have to vote for him. Who would he like to vote for president? Who would you like to have for president? Pocahontas Warren? Would he like to have Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer? Would he like to have Pete Buttigieg, the in-your-face sodomite that says publicly, stupid enough to say publicly, if you elect me and put me in the White House, I'll bring Christianity back to the White House? Is that who this writer would like to have as president rather than President Donald J. Trump? President Trump has taken the stand, whether he realized it or not at the time, he's taken the stands that I believe God has provided through those whispering in his ear, as I call it. He has taken the stand that uses godly wisdom and has taken the stands that I believe God would have for the Christian community, for the church, and for the name of Christ, and for the religious liberties and the freedoms that we have in our Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a position in society today where we as Christians need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, and recognize what is taking place. It is sad to see anybody that will take that stand and say that. All I can say is that President Trump has indeed done more for the protection of religious liberties and freedom than any other president. Our November 2020 election will make the difference in the direction of America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour now for the news. After the news, we're coming back. We're going to continue this. Remember, that number is 831-0917. You can join in with the open mic discussion today with Bits and Pieces Across America.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.